No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If as many as you want it to be.
Okay. I guess. I have them a little higher.
Maybe you do. You probably don't have them higher than
in my world, a few is like six and a half.
You're gonna hear his name pretty early in my room. Alrighty.
Really?
Back to another Whistle Fanatic Tuesday night. It is the final installment of our draft series. Next week is going to be entirely mock drafts. So today is our last positional ranking show. Today we are discussing cornerbacks. So this is going to be our last positional grouping. We each are going to have 15, similarly to how we did the wide receivers. So we're just going to have 15 cornerbacks this week. So we're going to hit the intro, and then we are going to get going.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Alrighty, so as I mentioned, we are doing 15 cornerbacks each. And we are each going to highlight two of them again, like we normally do. So starting with number 15, Simon, I'll go with you first. Who is your number 15 cornerback?
Denzel Burke.
Line two. So, Brian, who's your number 15?
Mine is Caleb Ransaw.
All right. Jake, number 15.
Jacob Parrish.
All right. I liked him. If we did 20, he probably would end up on my list. But Simon, give me your number 14, Simon.
Kobe Bryant.
All right, Bryant, give me your number 14.
My number 14 is Quincy Riley.
All right. List. Jake, 14.
Denzel Burke.
All right, here we go. Number 14 is Raya by Azariah Thomas.
Wow.
Oh.
It's not even so much that I don't like him. It's just that I had a bunch of other guys I ended up putting ahead of him.
Hey, it's fair. It's fair. It's your rankings.
There's a lot of corners that I like, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
All right. Number 13, Simon.
Jacob Parrish.
All right. Bryant, 13.
Dorian Strong.
I like him too. Ooh. He didn't make my 15, but I like him too. Jake, who's your number 13?
So I have to say this before I say his name. Kansas has easily the coolest named corners last year. Easily. Yeah. And I have Melo Dotson at number 13.
Yeah. I like it.
They have Melo.
I'm going to ruffle feathers too. Jake and I already had I wouldn't say an argument, but definitely a healthy debate. Yeah. Number 13 is where I have Will Johnson.
Yeah, that's...
Come on. What?
It's interesting. When
Simon gets to talking about him, I'll say why, but I don't like him.
Dude, we're going to have 30 minutes before I talk about him.
I know.
It's okay. Know.
It has less to do with his coverage and more to do with his tackling.
Okay, I did. That was one of my strong negatives.
That's right. I'm
gonna wait.
Where do you weigh tackling versus someone that can actually cover somebody? So,
I mean, there's a lot of good coverage guys in the class.
This is a strong tackling. Class.
His tackling and his angles just completely turned me off.
You did say that to me the other day.
All right, number 12, Simon. Who's your number 12?
This is where I have Dorian Strong.
All right, Bryant, 12.
Noel Williams.
All right, Jake, 12.
Zy Anderson.
Hmm?
Alexander, sorry.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
I was looking at something else. I am so sorry. Zy Alexander.
Chewed off the first name. I like him. He just missed my list.
All right.
But I think he could be pretty good.
Zy Alexander is also my number 12 as well.
Cool.
All right, number 11, Simon, number 11.
Noel Williams.
All right. Bryant, 11.
That's where I had Jacob Parrish.
All right. Jake, cool. 11.
A little higher on him.
Azariah Thomas.
Man. All right. 11 is Ryan Mello Dotson.
Ooh.
All right. Into the top 10. Simon, give me your number 10.
This is where I have Zion Alexander.
All right. Bryant, 10.
This is where I have Denzel Burke.
Jake, 10.
Kobe Bryant.
All right. 10 is where I have Noel Williams. So he's probably going to be pretty solid on our consensus. Simon, who's your number 9?
Darian Porter.
I like him a lot.
I do too.
Bryant, who's your number 9?
So this is where I have my first guy, and that's Azrae Thomas. I just think his size is really impressive. So he's 6'2", 198 pounds. He did run a 4.58 40, which can scare some people, but I'll talk about why it shouldn't really scare you. He played 11 games as in his sophomore year. 11 games, had 14 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, interceptions, pass breakup. His junior played 14 games with 1 start, 29 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 10 pass breakups and a forced fumble. And then last year he had his strongest year as an honorable mention all ACC. Started all 12 games, had 52 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, an interception, and 4 pass breakups. So he just has imposing – he's an outside corner. We'll start there. He has imposing size and length as a press corner, so he can press you and can stall the receiver off the line. He has a strong punch, so he's going to hit them and stall them. For one, that helps with, you know, not getting beat with that speed right away off the line because he can press you. He makes up for lack of speed with crowding and staying connected to the wide receiver. He really crowds them. Obviously, that becomes some kind of penalty concerns here and there by crowding them, but he really kind of stays attached to them. He reads receivers well to know when to turn and locate the ball, so he watches their hands and their eyes, that he can break up balls that way. Long arms for disrupting the catch and knocking down passes. He also has an advanced route recognition, especially against quick passing plays. So in like real quick slants, passing plays, he'll jump those routes. He's very fluid for someone his size, and also he uses the sideline well to his advantage. So he'll force people to the sideline. He does have below average recovery speed once he's beaten. So if you don't want him lined up against Tyreek Hill on the outside or Davante Adams, that can put you on skates, even though he doesn't have the speed. He can beat you with a route. Someone that you can't get hands on, Azrae Thomas is probably going to struggle with. As I mentioned, he gets too handsy, could lead to penalties. He does need to get better at tackling, but overall, I would just say that he really understands how to play the position. And so although he's a little bit slower, I really like his size. I think he knows how to play the position, so I really like him. I'd like him in the second round. I'd love him in the third round. I'll put it that way.
All right. Jake, who is your number 9?
My number 9 is Dorian Strong.
All right. My number 9 is Trey Amos. All right. Simon, who is your number 8?
Azariah Thomas.
All right. Bryant, 8.
Trey Amos.
All right. Jake, 8.
That's where I have Darian Porter.
All right. 8 is where I have Benjamin Morrison. All right, Simon, who's your number 7?
Maxwell Hairston.
All right, Bryant, 7.
Darian Porter.
Jake, 7.
Maxwell Hairston.
All right, number 7 is where I have Kobe Bryant. All right, top 6. Simon, give me your number 6.
Trey Amos.
All right, Bryant, 6.
So this is where I have my second guy. I guess you guys don't want to talk at all.
Nope.
I'm going to talk on my number 6.
This is where I have Maxwell Hairston, 5'11", 138 pounds, but he ran a 4.28 40. The thing with his 40 time is it actually shows up on tape. There's other people that you'll see that doesn't show up on tape. Think of Matthew Golden. There's a lot of people that said, they didn't think he'd be that fast because of his tape. His speed shows up on tape. So his first year he redshirted. His second year he played 12 games of reserve. So the bulk of his experience came the last 2 years. So a couple years ago, second team all SEC, tied for 6 in the FBS with 5 interceptions. So he led the SEC in interceptions, and he returned 2 of those interceptions for touchdowns. And that's where his speed comes in. He led the team with 6 pass breakups and started all 13 games. He had 68 tackles, so a lot of tackles, 1.5 for a loss. And then in 2024, he did miss a few games with a shoulder injury. That's concerning a little bit. Obviously, we've seen what happened with Ja with a shoulder injury. And Maxwell Harrison, already one of his weak points was tackling. So I'll wait till Tyler's done.
Sorry. I thought I saw myself muted. That's my bad. I'm fired.
Yeah, stop doing that, Tyler.
Yeah. I have a bad example set for me that's by somebody that's done that like 7,000 times.
That's what you get with live shows, right?
That's my second fireable offense of the night.
Anyways, so with the shoulder injury, I don't think I said 138. He's 183 pounds. I'm sorry if I messed that up. So he started seven games, missed five with a shoulder injury. But in those seven games, he had a sack, interception, return for a touchdown. So if you're tracking, that's six interceptions in his career. Three of them he returned for touchdowns. He had four pass breakups and two forced fumbles. So like I said, he has serious speed that shows up on tape. He's good in the back pedal and changes direction with his controlled footwork. So he's going to quick change of direction, good footwork. He does a good job of transitioning at the top of the route and can pick off some route combos. He reads the quarterback and will break on routes. However, sometimes because of his speed and he wants to make a big play, sometimes he breaks on too many routes. So he might get beat by a double team or something like that. Luckily, he has a lot of speed to catch up, but there's going to be times that you're just not going to catch somebody. So he might get, beat by that, but he can quickly close space with the speed. He'll compete at the point of catch. However, and he brings a little attitude to the position. However, there are times that just because of his size, he's going to get out-muscled and he's going to get out-physicaled. Andy Herman did a really good breakdown on him, too. I happened to watch it or whatever after I had chose that I was going to cover Maxwell Harrison. He talked about basically that Maxwell was really, unlucky, essentially. There was times where he played the ball really well. The receivers made a good catch. And then he said there's a lot of times that he actually got flagged and it seemed like a pretty ticky-tacky call. So, hopefully that's better, reffing in the NFL, but you know how that goes. So he'll have to clean those things up a little bit. He's going to make some big plays by jumping those routes and he's going to return some interceptions for touchdowns. However, he's going to get beat on those sometimes. And then also he is a liability in run support because he's a below average tackler. So that's where I get a little concerned with the shoulder injury, because are we going to, there's a little bit of bias there from Jaw and it feeling like he really doesn't want to tackle now that he broke his collarbone. But hopefully that's not the case with Maxwell. This is another case where I have seen him mock to us in the first round. I don't think he'd be a good pick in the first round unless we traded down to 30 to 32. I do think I would really like him in the second round, though.
I think he's in play for pick 23, to be honest with you. That depends on how much they like him. Yes, Steve, I have an intentionally clicky keyboard for the satisfying sounds. Turns out it's not good for having right next to a microphone when you're trying to podcast.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost as good as having a laptop keyboard. The other couple things on Harrison that I wanted to throw out there, he's going to come up on my list yet, but he has a 963 relative athletic score, so very high there. During his 40, he reached 24.25 miles an hour.
Blazing.
That's a absurd.
Yeah.
And had a 39.5-inch vertical.
He doesn't quite meet the Packers weight threshold, but the thing with him is even if he added the 9 pounds to hit their 191 pound mark they like or whatever, what does he lose? A tenth of a second? He runs a 4.38. Uh oh. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that sounds terrible.
Yeah. So all I right. think he could, if they do get him, I think they're gonna ask him to put on a little bit of muscle, which might make him more confident in his tackling abilities too.
Yeah, that could help him in press coverage too.
Just give him, send him to, what's that fast food restaurant in Wisconsin? Culver's. Yeah, just give him, send him to Culver's. That's 7 pounds right there.
Yeah, right. All right. So we are on six. So, Jake, give me your number six cornerback.
I'm going to say his name wrong. Siobhan Revel Jr.
Yep.
Siobhan Revel, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Number six is where I have my first guy. I have Zay Frazier. Now, it's going to be kind of controversial, I guess, because he came from UTSA. So because he's coming out of Texas San Antonio, he's already drawing a lot of comparisons to Tariq Woolen, who was also from UTSA. Now, I chose to basically look at the small school and just take that out of it. Looking at the way that he plays, he's an absolute ball hawk. He was targeted 38 times, only allowed 18 receptions. It's a 47.1% reception percentage. Only allowed one touchdown and had six interceptions and seven pass breakups. He had a 37.7 NFL rating when targeted. Is 6'3", 185 pounds. So similar to Harrison, he's going to have to put on 5-10 pounds to be where the Packers like their guys. But a 9.35 relative athletic score, a 4.36 40. So another guy who's big and fast. He's an absolute ball hawk. He has really good breaking speed on routes and like the out routes and stuff like that. Very good change of direction when he's playing in zone coverage. He's a very sure tackler. He had only two missed tackles in 2024. Another primarily outside guy at 6'3". Would be kind of weird for him to be playing slot, but very, very high on Zay Frazier. Outside of the fact that he went to UTSA, if you take that out of it, I think he'd be a lock to be higher on some lists. Hmm. All right, top five. Simon, give me your number five cornerback.
This is where I have Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame. 21 years old, 6 feet tall, 190. Dude's got extremely long arms, very active hands. He's pretty good in press. I think he's a willing run defender, and he seems kind of like a high IQ guy. Always seems to know what's going on during the play. Negatively, sometimes he can struggle to get off blocks, and sometimes he doesn't trust his athleticism, so he can be a little grabby at times, and he's coming off a hip injury. So that all depends on how medical shows up. And then he struggles a little bit with larger physical receivers.
Is he going to be healthy to go? I know he did some of this. Did he just do measurements?
Or I saw something that I was reading earlier about their injuries, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be a thing. But, I mean, you only know what you see online.
He's another player I love in the second round, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he's I mean, all it says is he remains confident in his abilities and plans to hold a private workout in the near future. So I assume NFL teams will maybe get their answer during that private workout, or if anyone brings him on like a top 30 visit.
I think they were doing one. It might have actually been today, even.
I thought that was Will Johnson did one. Oh, Will Johnson did one yesterday. I didn't see if Benjamin. Hold on, let me look.
Yeah, he didn't run the 40. Will Johnson didn't run the 40 though.
He didn't run. Yeah, I was gonna bring. No, he didn't.
Concerned about his.
I don't remember seeing anything about an exact date for Benjamin Morrison though. Then,
Steve Frazier played in the East-West Shrine Bowl. All right, so Bryant, give me your number five.
My number five is Benjamin Morrison as well.
Jake, number five?
Ditto.
Nice. That was easy. 4 for 4.
All right. I used my number.
Oh, number yeah.
Five is where I have Darian Porter. Yeah. Very close to taking him as my second guy.
He's good.
He's legit.
There's a lot of good corners. I honestly feel like we can get a corner.
This is a good year to need a corner.
Year to need a corner and a
round two and four. I think there's value there for us, no matter what. Yeah. Well, obviously round one, two, if we get one of these top guys. But
and honestly, like my number 16, 17, 18 guys, like Dorian Strong is my number 16. I like him a lot. My number 17 is O'Donnell Fortune. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I liked him too.
So I mean, yeah, there's a lot,
and there's some good size at cornerback this year coming out. Yeah, too,
some sure. Outside guys that'll be good.
Green Bay needing an outside guy. There's definitely some options.
Yeah, for sure. Steve said Porter should be named Clay because that's what he is. All right.
Fair.
All right, number four, Simon. Give me your number four corner.
Siobhan Revel. I really like this guy. I almost slid him up higher.
I have him
almost.
I have him one spot higher.
Yeah. I really like Siobhan Revel.
Yeah. Brian, who's your number four?
It's Siobhan Revel. I just have him a little bit lower because of his age. That was it.
All right. Jake, who's your number four?
This is my first guy, is where I have Trey Amos. Trey Amos. So let's get into it here. 6'1", 195, 31 1/4 inch arms, and he has 9 inch hands if you're into that kind of thing. He possesses good foot quickness and size be a problem in press coverage. He has really good body control. He has twitchy burst, long arms, like I said before, which helps him with pass disruption down the field. He allowed a sub 19% completion rate on throws 20 plus yards down the field for his career. That's per PFF, so that's pretty good. Couple weaknesses I have for him. He can be a little too quick to open his hips to route movement. He gets kind of lost at the top of some routes every once in a while. He is better in zone coverage. I feel like everybody in my top four is elite in zone coverage.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really good. I'm going to explain when I get to my next guy. I wrote down some Packer stats and on some zone coverage stuff. So all these guys in the top four, I would be ecstatic if they drafted. He loses some ground when it turns into a flat out foot race. So he doesn't have like top end speed, but he's good at short area quickness, diagnosing quick passes. He allowed 31 receptions last year. He had 10 pass breakups, 3 interceptions, 14 stops, and a 56.4 passer rating. So Trey Amos, I think, will probably be a guy drafted in the early second round. I don't know if he falls to the Packers in the second round, but I think he'll end up being a pretty good player. Good size, decent speed.
I'll give my number four quick, and then I'll get into Steve's question. My number four is Maxwell Hairston. Steve asked the question, any concerns with big, tall corners like Revel? Kevin King was sort of like Revel. I think it's there's less corners who are Kevin King than there are tall corners who become Kevin King.
Yeah.
Like, and Revel also, I don't think it's not like not all tall corners are Kevin King, and just because Kevin King is tall doesn't make all tall corners Kevin King.
Yeah, I think Revel is better at getting a little more physical and stuff too than Kevin King was. Kind of getting, using his size to his advantage a little more, a la like, you know, Richard Sherman.
The other part of it is the height thing. Like Tariq Woolen is 6'4". Sauce Gardner is 6'3". Like, I think Christian Gonzalez is like 6'4".
Yeah, he's a little bigger. I think he's like 6'2". Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton, I know he's a safety, but he's 6'4". So I mean, there's some precedent of taller guys that are good at cornerback. All right, top three, Simon, give me your number three.
Oh, this is where I have Jahdae Barron.
All right, Bryant, number three,
and Jahdae Barron.
All right, Jake, number three,
Will Johnson.
All right, number three is where I have my second guy, Siobhan Revel, 6'3", 193 pounds. That is like the perfect size for a corner in my mind. He's from Eastern Carolina, so again, another small school guy, but he did miss some time in 2024. He only played 3 games in 2024, but if you look at his career, he allows a 60.6 NFL rating, which is pretty low, 3 interceptions, 11 passes defense, only 4 missed tackles in his entire college career, which is awesome. Watching his tape, he'll mix it up in the backfield in the running game, which is something that's important too with the corners. He's a sure tackler. He's really good at flipping his hips. He attacks the ball when the ball arrives. He has good speed to jump routes. In man coverage, he has the number 21 PFF grade in the 2025 class, number 20 in zone, so he's good in man and zone. This was out of, Brian, I don't remember if you remember the exact number. I think it's like 293 qualified corners for the 2025 draft.
Yeah, it was something like that was what you told me. Yep.
Yeah, it's so being in the 20s is still very, very good out of, you know, that's you're essentially in the top 10%, which is probably a little bit less than that because it's almost 300 corners. So very, very high ranking in man and in zone coverage. He was 0-for-5 when targeted in man coverage and 1-for-5 in 2023 in man coverage. So very strong coverage in man defense. And over his career, allowed 28 receptions on 64 targets. That's 43.8%. So good numbers, good tape. I mean, I like everything I see from Siobhan Revel.
Yeah, like I said, his age was my concern.
Yeah, I mean, if we're in a position where – and this is a conversation we've had with basketball a lot more. But if you're in a position to need, you know, like – NFL ready guys you want to plug and play like right away, that's a conversation you can kind of question, you know, is if you want guys who are a little bit older, if you view those guys as more step in, at least that's something that's debatable. I know in the NBA it's really going like draft just the young project guys as opposed to the guys who have been in college for 4 years. So top two. Simon, give me your number two cornerback.
Yeah, so it's Will Johnson. And I understand what you're saying. I just think that everything else really overshadows that for me. Since we're already kind of talking about the negatives, I think the other negative, and Bryant kind of alluded to already, is like he doesn't have the top speed that you'd want out of a corner. And I think by him, there's two rationale reasons why he wouldn't run his 40. One is either his hamstring injury that he didn't do his pro day for a few weeks ago or whatever isn't totally healed up, or he knew he would run slow enough to where it would look bad, so he didn't. Yeah. Don't know which is what, but
2024. So that's where that injury comes
from. I can't blame him. The rest of his tape is from his freshman year on is incredible in my eyes. His change of direction is so good. He's so fluid. He has good size. I'm sorry. He's 6'2", 202. So a little heavier maybe than you'd like, but nothing out of control. He's 6'2", which is good size. He's still young. He's 22 years old. He has long arms. I think as far as being in the right area, he's good in run defense, if that makes sense. Like his tackling ability is inconsistent and sloppy. Like he just kind of throws his body sometimes. But he's in the, for the most part, he's in the right area. I think he takes decent, what's the word?
Angles.
Thank you.
He's not afraid of contact. He tries to shoulder tackle too much and not wrap up.
He's a wrap
tackle percentage is 20.8%.
Yes. And I completely understand. But he's also like a versatile. I think he could play slot if you needed him to. I know he has like a bigger size for a corner, but I don't know if
he's primarily outside, but I think he played a little bit of slot. I can look it up.
He did a little bit, I think. Hold on. I didn't write down.
You can keep talking. I'll look it up for you.
He played a little bit in his freshman year, and then they moved him more into the outside role. But yeah, I really like the guy. I wouldn't be mad if the Packers took him. I think he, if he didn't get hurt this year, I think he would be like a top 10 pick. And I think a lot of the stuff that has him dropping is kind of the minor injuries that he ran into this last year. But I mean, it doesn't seem like anything concerning. It seems like whoever takes him, he's going to go into all the camps and stuff and be perfectly fine. And as far as what I read, I'm sorry.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
As far as from what I read from his private workout yesterday, he's still, like, people think he's a fluid mover. And he showed out pretty well.
Yeah, for me, if you have him come in and he's, you know, ends up being a number one corner on a team, you know, and he can shut guys down or get close to that, I think you deal with the missed tackle, right? And you continue to develop and get better at that. Especially think about our team, right? I feel like you could afford to have a corner on the outside who's really good at coverage, struggles a little bit in tackling, because you're going to have Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Xavier McKinney to clean some of that stuff up. to where I feel like we need a corner that that's going to cover. And I know we're looking at this as an NFL draft as whole, what we think they're going to do in the future. But for me, I feel like what his stuff that he needs to clean up is easier to clean up than some of the stuff I've seen from other guys. So, because of the way he just plays the game. Like, he's kind of Azrae Thomas. That's what I kind of felt like Azrae Thomas. Will Johnson is better, but Azrae Thomas, he just uses his football intelligence to play the position really well. And he might not have all the physical traits, but he knows how to play the position really well. And sometimes people overshadow or overlook that. Instead of just getting the football player, they want the athlete. And sometimes that hurts you because sometimes – football players like Davante Adams, who fell to the second round because his slow 40 time, everyone looked past his route running, you know what I mean? And what did he turn into for a good chunks of years? He was the best wide receiver in the NFL, even though his 40 time didn't change. It's because he knew how to play the position and just out-leverage and beat everyone off the line.
So never mind on the slot part. He only played 58 slot snaps his entire career in college out of 1,317 total. So never mind on the slot. and this draft is kind of weird because, like, a lot of times I do like the athletes more than I like the, you know, the football players. But this year is kind of a draft where I'd rather draft the football players than some of the freak athletes like Jack Sawyer and Landon Jackson. Both of them not anywhere near my top 10 edge rushers. Yeah. But they're both freak athletes more than they are, like, sound football players. Like, I'm feeling that the Packers are in a spot now that they've been the youngest team in the NFL for 2 years in a row, that it should be less about kind of trying to find the raw athletic ability and trying to find the guys who can, you know, plug in and contribute.
We have some freak athletes. It's time to get the football players around them.
Yeah.
My opinion. Like, don't get me wrong, Edgerton Cooper is a football player too, but he's a freak athlete first, and he's just is better at putting both together than what Quay has been so far. But now you have Quay, who's a freak athlete. We need him to get the football together. We have LVN, who's a freak athlete. We need him to get the football aspect together. And we have that quite a few different spots. So, you know, we have, you know,
Musgrave,
a couple wide receiver. Musgrave, that's a great example. You know, he's almost so much of a freak athlete, he forgets how to run. Like,
I would say on the reverse side, like, Evan Williams is more of a football player than an athlete.
Yeah,
which is what made him like a 4.58.
He was able to plug and play
him slower.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say that Zach Tom's a pretty good football player and athlete, being able to play all those positions, deal with all those different kind of rushers. I mean, he's a pretty good athlete in his own right too. So
yeah.
But his measurables didn't blow you off the out of the water, you know what I mean, coming out. But it was like, hey, no, this guy knows how to play. And he's a good example of what I kind of think of, like Azrae Thomas or Will Johnson. It's like they just know what they're doing. If they know how to play the position better than you, so what they do is they use that and they push you out, or they force you to the boundary, or they just set you up to where, yeah, you might be able to get past them, but it's making it impossible for the quarterback to even get you the ball because of where they're stationed or put up, you know what I mean? So – I kind of would like a couple of those types of players on our team now. I'd be thrilled with Will Johnson at 23.
Yeah,
same. Honestly, looking at the cornerback list, like my top, you can almost go like 20, almost any order you put them in, I'm going to be okay with, almost, like within reason. Like, I have a couple guys like pretty low that are higher on your guys' list and stuff like that. But I mean, overall, There's a lot to like here, and we're going to find in our mock drafts next week that I think if we pass on cornerbacks early, that there will be guys available later on that we're like, oh, yeah, Darian Porter in the fifth round, like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see. Justin has an alternative proposal. We go get Jalen Ramsey, obviously, in the SpongeBob chicken face talk. But
what does that mean?
He's making fun of it, like laughing.
The meme.
SpongeBob when he's got the chicken beak.
Yeah.
The know-it-all Packer fans are probably saying
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, to go get Jalen Ramsey, ignoring the fact that if we were going to do that, we might as well keep Jair. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And save $5 million a year.
Yep.
All right. So I think we were at top two. All right. So Bryant, I think, is up for number two.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Will Johnson.
All right. Jake, number two.
This is where I have Jahdae Barron. This is my second guy. So I wrote about Jahdae Barron. He's a very versatile corner. He could play outside, slot, even some safety. He was primarily a slot for Texas last year. In terms of grades, these are from PFF. So however you feel about him, you can feel about him. I just wrote him down. He had 90.6 grade overall, and he had a 91.3 coverage grade last year. he will fit best in a zone heavy scheme. So I wrote some things down about what Green Bay did in the zone last year to kind of support my claim here on why they should take him at 23 if he ever falls that far. I've seen him going as high as number 8 in some mock drafts, which is crazy. So cover one, the Packers called it 17.7% of the time. Cover three, they called it 37% of the time. Cover two, they called it 21% of the time, which is the fifth highest in the NFL last year. And overall, on defense, 78% of our play calls last year, which was the ninth highest in the NFL, were zone coverages. So probably be smart to get a guy who can be really good in zone. I also wrote down that he has plus awareness and instincts in zone coverage. There were times when I was watching his tape where I was like, dude, is he running this route for this guy? It really felt like that at times. He was very good at stabbing and redirecting wide receivers within the first 5 yards. Please don't make me laugh. I will start coughing. he is very good at attacking the ball when the ball's in the air. He swats, punches at the ball, makes it very hard for contested catches to happen. And my favorite part about him, this is one of the few people I didn't have to write that he was an arm tackler. He slides his feet and gets in position to tackle people. And it made me so happy that a slot corner actually is not afraid to stick his nose in there. I was like, dude, I love this guy. This guy tackles, dude. He covers people and he tackles. Like, that's what you want in a corner. And the reason I had him at number two is, so there's all this talk about Jair, and I did my notes a little bit earlier than other people. There's all these things about Jair Alexander. And how many players on the Packers do you actually trust to play man coverage?
Like three?
Maybe.
Really,
we get like 6-7 games of Jair Alexander, who's really, really good when he plays. And then after that, it's just like we have a bunch of like guys and practice squad guys and this random guy. And I think Jahdae Barron will be a guy that you could plug in day one. Now, I know they made some moves since then, Nate Hobbs. But they made some moves since then. But Jahdae Barron, I think, would be a guy where you could plug him in day one and you'd feel pretty comfortable where he is on the field at all times. Wouldn't have to worry as much if you got rid of a guy like Jair Alexander. So I think Jahdae Barron will be a welcome face in Green Bay.
I think when I look at Jahdae Barron with his versatility, and then we just signed Nate Hobbs, who it's like, oh, we playing slot or outside too. And then you have Javon Bowler, and then you have Williams and McKinney. I feel like they could – and Nixon, who's played a lot on both sides. I really feel like they could start to mess with a lot of, like, offensive coordinators to where it's, like, they don't know who's covering what, to be honest. The rotation and stuff with the – throw Jahdae Barron into that mix, the rotation and everything that could happen could be pretty nasty. Now, we'd have to be careful not to confuse ourselves, too, but
– I mean, if you treat it like the offensive line and kind of have them all kind of cross-train – during training camp and stuff like that.
Just think about the cornerback blitzes you could throw with Jahdae Barron, Javon Bullard, and Keyshawn Nixon or something like that on the field at the same time. Like, you don't know where the cornerback – you don't know which one's blitzing, and that's pretty dangerous.
And I love the idea of having Jahdae Barron in single coverage. Like, he's a guy that I think – and this is one of the reasons that I didn't like the idea of Will Johnson. Admittedly, this does come into the Packers aspect of it, but if the Packers can trust their corners a little bit more and not have to play so much zone coverage, and they can trust the corners more, they can send more guys in the pass rush.
Yep.
Instead of having to try to rely on four guys to get home, which is something that, they got kind of caught up in last year. Simon, who do you think is Goody's going to draft next week? Matthew, next week we're going to do live mock drafts. So,
We'll do like who we like and who we think the Packers will take.
Yeah, and we'll do different ones if they draft like a D-line in the first or a corner in the first or a wide receiver in the first.
Yeah, and we'll like force ourselves to make that pick and see how the rest of the.
We can also do like a head and heart pick. Like where does our head think the Packers are going to go? Where does our heart want them to go? We can do something like that too. Yeah. You know, so lots of options.
Yeah, my number two is also Jahdae Barron. So, do we all want to say our number one on three?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. One, two, three.
Travis Hunter. There we go.
I didn't have wide receiver either, so I guess we all kind of put him as a cornerback, huh?
Let's have this conversation because we had it with some other position groups where, you know, we were okay with them overlapping, and there's an interesting conversation here because Travis Hunter is saying that he wants to play both in the NFL. So we can kind of go around the horn. Jake, give me your thoughts. What do you think should be done with Travis Hunter in the NFL?
All right. So I'm just going to read the first thing I wrote down.
He's the one that said that quote today or yesterday or whatever, right? Yeah. Like it came straight from the horse's mouth. Okay.
Yeah, basically that he
– I didn't know if it was just dumb reporting. Okay.
What was the quote? I missed it real quick.
Essentially, it was like, if I don't end up playing both in the NFL, I'd rather not play at all. In layman's terms,
man, maybe he should fall to 23.
Freaking A, dude.
We'll give you an offensive package for sure,
dude. Him and LaFleur's offense would be nasty. He could take all the
Justin. That's exactly what he said.
He said he's never playing football again if he can't play wide receiver and cornerback in the NFL. He said, "quote It's never playing football again because I've been doing it my whole life. I feel like I could dominate on each side of the ball."
He's a pretty good wide receiver. I just think that he's more of a natural corner. It's just how I view him.
Curious, if you guys were to put him on your wide receiver list, where would you put him? Just off like the top of your head.
He'd be top five still for me.
I was thinking like three.
Three, probably.
He's got to be, for sure.
Simon, what do you think about Travis Hunter?
I don't know. I get where he's coming from. It is tough to go like your whole life and playing both, because he did it a considerable amount at Colorado. It wasn't just like he played mostly offense and sometimes he's on defense or vice versa. He played a considerable amount of snaps of football. Yeah, I will like say though,
up at fullback or something like
right.
that.
Right,
he won the best wide receiver of the year award.
Yeah,
Blitnikoff.
Blitnikoff,
and he won the Heisman, obviously. So,
I understand where he's coming from. I don't know how much I really think into his comment. I will say though that it will eventually become a question of longevity. If he forces his way, eventually it will. Like you're gonna fall off at some point, and if he really wants to make his NFL career last, there's got to be some give in some direction either way.
It's a really interesting conversation to have because it's such a rare thing, and with him being so good on both sides of the ball, you have to at least ask the question, like, could he be, you know, a football unicorn that does do both?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a question that, you know, we'll kind of see how his first couple of years in the league go and if there's teams that are willing to let him play both sides of the ball. But Justin said he would personally pass on Hunter. He's good, but with an attitude like that, I could see issues that will arise.
I don't call that attitude. I call that passion.
See, and the thing is like his on the field play backs it up. He can talk like that because he's that guy. He's really that guy.
And you're saying he's him?
And give my thoughts on Travis Hunter. The Cleveland Browns should pick him at two and let him play both sides of the ball. Because here's the thing is that the Cleveland Browns, regardless of what they do at quarterback, they've brought in Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. Like, unless they're drafting another quarterback to put another quarterback in that room, like, you're already filling it up with a bunch of recycled garbage. Draft Travis Hunter at two, let him play both sides of the ball, and let him fill your stadium up this year.
Yep.
That's really how I feel. And you can use, you know, if you use his rookie contract, use his rookie year, let him play both sides of the ball, find out if he can do it. Because he could be, you don't know until you put him out there, because it is something that just never happens. You put him out there on both sides of the ball and see if he can do it at the NFL level over a period of time. If you put him out there for 6 weeks in the NFL and he's playing really well on both sides of the ball, like, full send. I mean, that's really how I feel. If I were the Cleveland Browns, I would strongly consider him at two and play him on both sides.
Yeah, so
just Justin's following up by saying, I get that, but to say you would walk away from your passion because you don't get your way is an immature statement, just my two cents.
Bro, he's not – it's gamesmanship, dude. He's literally, like, trying to, like, force the issue to get to play both ways. Yeah. He's a really great athlete, bro. He's going to play both ways. I don't
he's
care
who drafts him. I would he's say he's saying ways. That to hopefully push himself to a team that's going to let him play both.
He's playing both ways.
Also, think about the contract he could get if he's
– I really –
So, but for me, for what I think of Travis Hunter is, first off, longevity. Sure, I understand the concern. However, he's done it in college. Now, the NFL, you could be potentially playing anywhere between 5 to 8 games more a year, especially if we move to the 8 games schedule. Now, I will say you can't really question his conditioning because he was playing that, and he was playing that in Boulder, Colorado. He's not going to play other than Denver. He's not going to play anywhere with a higher elevation in the NFL. So his, you know, his conditioning is insane, right? So if you don't want to play him a full 60 snaps on offense and a full 60 snaps on defense, fine, do 40 and 40. He's still going to bring a lot of, you know, for one, as a wide receiver, there's going to be plenty of plays that he's going to get off anyway, because you're not going to make him necessarily number one, but and if you know you're running the ball a lot of the times, you might just keep him off the field there. There's, you know, as a cornerback, I think he should probably play all snaps. As a wide receiver, I don't think there's anything that a team shouldn't be able to get him on the you know, field for 35, 40 plays a game, because he brings that value. Let him do it and prove – let him prove
– that he can't do it.
That he can't do it, because he's proven that he can do it.
Yeah, well, and that's a really interesting.
I love that answer.
Really interesting also, idea. I like the idea of putting him on there for all of the defensive snaps, and then say, start him for 10 routes.
Yeah,
see if he can handle it. Then give him more, or just see if you keep his workload the same. Justin, maybe as far as his contract, what he would be looking at. I mean, if he gets drafted number two, he'll have the second highest contract. As far
I think, he's talking about long,
right? But like after his rookie deal, I mean. Again, if we're looking at this at the rarity of how infrequent it happens that a guy plays wide receiver and cornerback, I mean, the only other example I would say we have in like current sports is Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani.
Yep.
He was quarterback money.
Before he hurt his arm, he was looking at winning a Cy Young and an MVP. Yeah, also, don't forget that in the past, I get it that NFL, it's a way different game now.
Yeah.
There were players that did this in the past in the NFL where they would play multiple positions.
Yeah.
So, like, this isn't something that's completely unheard of, right?
Just not in a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can't really and NFL and baseball, or excuse me, well, NFL and baseball are really the only leagues that you can kind of do this. In hockey, you're playing offense and defense. In basketball, you're playing offense and defense. So if you think about it, in those two sports, they're doing both. It's not like you're switching out basketball every time the ball is turned over, right? You're playing two ways.
Well, unless you're Jokic, you don't play defense. You just get triple doubles, and then you allow your opponent to score 35 points.
Or Devin Booker. So, but what I'm saying is, like, for a team that's going to draft him, say, no, you're only doing this, I think they would be really stupid to draft him at that point then. Because
I agree.
They're pigeonholing his.
Shohei Ohtani is a perfect example to use this for. If you were signing Shohei Ohtani from Japan, and he's like, I'm a pitcher, and I'm also a good hitter, and I play left field on the days that I don't pitch, would you tell him, like, nope, you're only a pitcher? And not have Shohei Ohtani's bat in the lineup, that's essentially what you're doing by saying, nope, we're not letting Travis Hunter play offense. He had 14 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell that guy that you can't have him on offense?
He made some absolutely disgusting contested catches. Like, I was watching one game, and I could not believe he caught the ball he did. I can't remember who they were playing.
But... I don't know. There's a few catches in the end zone that I was like, how?
Yeah.
And the reverse is the same way. Like, if you're bringing Shohei Ohtani over and say, nope, we're only going to have you as an outfielder and a DH, and you're going to tell him not pitch, you're going to bring Travis Hunter in and tell him, no, we're just going to make you a wide receiver and not let you play corner.
And I feel like you can limit his exposure by not having him do stuff like an end around. Don't do that. Don't throw him screens that he's going to get immediately popped on. So
I don't know. I might throw him a screen. He's a good athlete.
Well, you can throw him a screen, but don't run end rounds of crap with him then. Like, if you're worried about the usage and stuff, there's ways to limit it, but also take advantage of his ability.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting conversation. And I think, honestly, I think Shohei Ohtani is probably the closest, like, modern, comparison to make of, like, how you would handle him.
Yeah.
Justin said he meant he'd pass for the Packers. If I'm the Browns, I'd definitely take him. Should have cleared that up initially. Honestly, if there's a way, like, let's say we're at pick seven and Hunter hasn't been picked yet, and the Packers trade up for him, like, the Packers could use a wide receiver and a corner. Like, it's not going to happen, but if there was a way that he fell for some random reason and the Packers were able to get him, he could definitely help the Packers.
Get that man a gas mask.
I'm telling you right now, if he falls a seven in the Packers trap, Travis Hunter, Ryan is not going to be dragging my big ass home because I'm going to pass up. I'm going to pass up, dude.
For me,
that would be insane.
His attitude, like, of how many times do we see the top players say, I'm the best and I want to be drafted first? That's fine. I get concerns of attitude, it would be more like Shedeur Sanders, who's been kind of like had it all his whole life, and he might be a little bit of a prima donna and all that kind of stuff. That's what concerns me.
I don't know. I stopped caring about that. I just think all athletes are prima donnas. Well,
that's true.
So I love Coach Prime. Like, I'm a
big
Coach Prime fan. And for Travis Hunter and Shedeur, to be quite frank with you, having him as the leader to show them the way, Deion wasn't really a guy that lacked confidence. He kind of, you know, there's stories about him. You know, he's talking about when he was going to be drafted, and there's guys that are like, "Yeah, we're pick number eight." He's like, "I'm gonna be long gone before you pick."
Yeah. So I mean, dual quarters doing that. He's not making any visits outside the top four.
Yeah.
You're right.
My concern is, like, if you draft Shedeur Sanders, say you're the Giants, you draft Shedeur Sanders, and you start with Russell Wilson and whoever else they saw, Jameis, W's. And I mean, they're like saying, no, we're not starting Shedeur this year. But Russell Wilson is, you know, stinking it up, and same with Winston. And then you have Coach Prime, and he's huge platform chirping your team and everything else. Hopefully he's just focused on his college team that, you know, underwhelmed this year. Hopefully he just stays focused on that instead of chirping your team. But you could see how that would create distractions that you don't want in an NFL team.
I mean, that's just New York sports in general anyways. That's just the norm.
Okay. Well, I shouldn't have used New York then, I guess.
I think that's where he's going to end up. He's working out for them again. So as far as the attitude thing again goes, it would be – so his attitude that we're talking about here is entirely related to how he interacts with himself, basically, and how he views himself. I would have a bigger problem if he was saying having attitude problems with teammates, coaches, you know, trainers, stuff like that. That's where I would view attitude as a problem versus a guy who, you know, kind of toes the line between cocky and confident, but leans a little bit more on the cocky side. Like, that's, I mean, you're talking professional athletes. They have to have that to a degree.
Yeah, someone that believes in themselves as strongly as he does is going to hold themselves to a different standard than a lot of people, and that means when he messes up, he's probably going to take, you know, he's going to be a little harder on himself, and maybe he's going to, you know, button down and stuff like that. So for me, that's not as, you know, too much.
The only attitude I'd be worried about around Travis Hunter is his freaking girlfriend, because good golly God, is she toxic.
Oh yeah, she was saying some stuff or doing some stuff.
She's out of pocket, dude. He's got to get rid of that.
I can't remember what she said, but I'll have to look it up.
I have no idea.
Bro, she literally told the man that he wasn't her type, bro. That's what he, like, what? You're just in this for the money, girl? He's got to be like Russell Wilson and cut that off, man.
Yeah. That today, Justin?
If he gets drafted to a team like he wants, that's going to let him play on both sides of the ball, guys are going to want to go at him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if the Browns play the Steelers in week one, like, George Pickens and DK Metcalf are going to want to, like, run through Travis Hunter's face and be like, see, he can't do this.
Yeah.
And that's the attitude that you would want those guys to have. Just like you would want him to have the opposite thing too. Like, if they're playing against the Ravens in week one, you got the Ravens defense going against there. Like Travis Hunter's going to want to go through the Ravens secondary and be like, see, I can do this. And then have him guarding, you know, Zay Flowers. Like, that's where he's going to want to be. It's going to be, again, like, Cleveland, draft him number two. Let him play both sides. It's going to be good for you. Like, it's going to be good for the conversation. It's going to make people be very, very interested in your team.
It'd be good for them to sell a lot of Travis Hunter merchandise since they want that ginormous new stadium in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and you might not need a new one again in 3 years.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not really going to dive into his personal life. I don't care. All right. So very interesting conversation. We're going to talk about it more next Tuesday when we do our live mock drafts. That's all of our draft positions. It's been a long, tons of notebook paper and computer messages and note-taking, but it's something that we do not to see how many picks we can get right for the Packers. We did get Adrian Cooper twice last year. I looked at our mock drafts from last year. So we did get Adrian Cooper right last year. But it's more so because it does help us end up knowing the future of the league better. We get 2 years, you know, 2 years from now and see these guys that we talked about for 2 hours a night, an hour a night for 6 weeks before they were drafted. You look back at guys from 2022 when we first started doing this, like we feel that we know the league so much better because we're researching all these players as we lead up to the draft.
Yeah, it's nice knowing players like in the fifth round and knowing them other than just the name. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember talking about him and he does this well and he might not do this well. And so
I don't know if I go as far as controversy, Justin, but I think it brings up good conversations. So, I mean, having a Travis Hunter conversation, I think, is good. It's a good thing to bring up. It's a good thing to talk about. And when the Packers trade up to draft him at four, it'll be wild. So,
yeah, I think the controversy of the night was Will Johnson.
I think so. So, very interesting stuff. Good conversations to have. And next week, we're going to be doing live mock drafts. So, be sure to join us for that. I'll get these all published and we'll have all of our consensus rankings out there. I'll put them all together into one post. So people can look at them and see them if they want to see what our consensus rankings look like. And next week we'll do mock drafts from the perspective of the Packers. And we'll do a full first round mock draft. And then next week, Thursday, is the draft.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Fucking A, dude. I only need to work 3 days next week. Let's go.
All righty. So next week, Tuesday, join us for the mock drafts. And then I will see you guys in person next weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, everybody.